Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a magnificent Monday today. We're pushing it hard down here at Health Masters, getting all your orders out for you, and I am back in town. Went to D.C. for the weekend and a couple other places for a wedding and looked at the monuments, and I've not been to Washington, D.C. in a while, and I forgot how much of a police state that entire area is up there, including Maryland, but it was enjoyable. Lana enjoyed it, and we had a fun time. It was just very different than Florida. But other than that, it was fun. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. We're heading up to the mountains for a few days, and we're going to see if we can watch the leaves turn a little bit. And quite frankly, I want to get in some cooler weather. I mean, it's still like a furnace down here right now, so it's been interesting. I usually by first part of October, it usually cools off pretty nice down here. Usually the hottest month of the year is August and September. Then October is really nice, but with all the geoengineering that they're doing, they're really messing up the climate right now. But I've got a story I want to start with. You know, I got a kick out of this, and I started laughing about it, so I thought I'd start off with a funny story. Angry Jets NFL football fans are convinced the NFL is rigged for the Patriots after a controversial Austin Seferian Jenkins fumble call, which I watched several times. And quite frankly, I have an update for you guys right now about all of this. You're absolutely right. The NFL is rigged. Don't bet money on it. It's not a true sport. It's entertainment. And quite frankly, it's there to brainwash you. And now it's there to try to change public opinion about everything, including the Star Spangled Banner, and to destroy the value of the United States flag. They attacked the Confederate flag last year. Now they're attacking the United States flag this year by basically kneeling during the national anthem. It's all about destroying the symbolism of the United States. The Confederate flag wasn't enough. Now they're going after the Stars and Stripes. So guys, here's the deal. If you really want to watch the NFL and watch professional wrestling on that kind of scale, knock yourself out. But guys, it's a giant waste of time. What do you think, Oz?
Oh yeah, it is. There's no question about it. I mean, it's my take has been the same on it for the longest time. It's a total waste of time. And to me, all it is obfuscation right now to try and bring that stuff into the whole mainstream media light so you don't focus on what else is going on. Speaking of like, well, what's going on with the weather, this is something I haven't really heard anybody talk about. Granted, it's not in this country, but it just goes to show you what has been going on with the weather, and very strangely, almost the side effects of them messing with stuff. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen, hundreds of thousands have lost power now in Ireland and in the United Kingdom, where the post-tropical cyclone Ophelia blasted the country today. Damaging winds are impacting parts of Ireland and the UK. They issued a red wind warning for all of Ireland on Monday, another amber and yellow warning in portions of the UK. Ophelia is hammering portions of Ireland and the Western United Kingdom with damaging winds on Monday, downing trees, knocking out power lines, and killing at least three people. Wind gusts have topped 70 miles per hour in several locations, including one gust to 119 miles per hour on Fastnet Island off the southern coast of Ireland. For a time Saturday into early Sunday, it was actually a major hurricane, a Category 3. This made Ophelia the farthest east Category 3 hurricane on record for the Atlantic Basin. So you have to admit, this is some pretty odd stuff we've been seeing with the weather. Now when a Category 3 actually goes into Ireland, and it looks like it had downgraded when it actually made landfall. But last time I checked, guys, Ireland doesn't usually get hit with hurricanes very often, Dad.
I've never heard of a hurricane hitting Ireland, quite frankly. 119 mile an hour gusts. Never heard of that in Ireland. You and I have been to Ireland. We went there when you were probably 14 years old. We did the Ring of Kerry. We spent a week there and a week in Scotland. And people don't realize it's a rocky coast, very few trees, and it's really, really windy. And when you get the storm cutting across like that, it can really do a lot of devastation, especially with exposed power lines and small villages everywhere. So I can believe that it made a big mess in Ireland. And it's a very, very scenic country. They call it the Emerald Isle. And there's a reason for that. It's really deep green. It's a beautiful place to go. The people there are so incredibly nice. And it was one of the best trips I ever joked about. In fact, you and I joked about it when we got there, because everybody had real, real white skin. Everybody had real, real red hair. And I'm talking like, I'm talking in some places everybody, and now it wasn't 100%, but it was like probably over 80%. And everybody had blue eyes, red hair, and super white skin. We call it the red, white, and blue place. I mean, it was really kind of interesting looking at that because, it was amazing. The people there were so, so very nice. By the way, Netanyahu now is in trouble again. The Israelis police now are facing off over a graft probe. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli police faced off in a rare public dispute Sunday over an intensifying graft probe that has led to speculation over whether he will eventually be forced out of office. Netanyahu late Sunday lashed out at the police on his Facebook page over leaks to the media related to the graft investigation. That prompted a stern response from the police, who have been probing gifts Netanyahu allegedly received from wealthy supporters, as well as suspicions he bought a secret deal with a publisher of a top-selling newspaper. I'm going to say this very clearly so everybody gets this. Benjamin Netanyahu is a career criminal. He's a Sabbatean Kabbalist. He is a Luciferian. I can't make that any more bold than that. He's bad news, and he has dragged Israel down into the ditch. He is the pawn of the Rothschild banking cartel. He does their bidding. That's why he's been there, been in politics for so long. When I met him back in the 90s, he was no longer prime minister. He'd been pushed out of office, and now he came back in right after that and has been there forever. And quite frankly, the man either belongs in jail, out of office, but someplace else, and he needs to leave Israel alone and stop all of this unbelievable graft and payoffs and bribes that they're involved in over there with his completely corrupt government. What do you think, son?
Yeah, it's pretty strange. And I mean, I still am trying to wrap my head around the fact that over 50% of Congress has dual citizenship to Israel. That really bothers me. And the fact that that's what we see now all over the place with these guys. And we talked about that article on, what, Thursday of last week, where the guy came forward.
I didn't realize it was that high, but go ahead.
No, it's pretty high. From the more I keep reading, the more it's more and more and more. More I keep digging into it now. And what we talked about last Thursday was that we saw the whistleblower come out talking about the pharmaceutical delivery system that he asked for Congress, and how a lot of these guys are on Alzheimer's medications and everything else. So we see, man, that there's a whole nother level to this government that's pretty pretty strange. And Netanyahu and Israel and all this stuff, it's all intertwined, man.
Well, it is, but we need to check those numbers because I know there's a lot of dual citizenship with Israel. I don't think it's quite at 50%, though, but it's way, way, way higher than it should be. And the way I look at this is that no matter what it is, it should be illegal. It shouldn't be allowed.
Yes.
And a lot of Trump's administration, a lot of the Goldman Sachs boys, and a lot of the folks that he's put in, they are dual citizens also with Israel. So it's something that we kind of have Israel running our government. So it's kind of crazy when you stop thinking about that. Oh, by the way, Germany now is getting backlash from the people. Towns are being filled with refugees who are asking who is immigrating whom. In other words, the early or influx of foreigners are feeding concerns about budget, safety, jobs, and quality of life. Many of these smaller towns that are being infused with hundreds of thousands of immigrants say there's absolutely no way they can put these folks into school and pay for it. Late this summer, Nadine Langer took her six-year-old to her first day at school. The girl was one of, listen to this, two German children in her class. She said the other 20 were Syrian refugees. Now, guys, how would you feel about that? If you had 20 Muslims in the class and you were the only, there were two Christians, and they were basically coming in and taking over the country. This we can thank Angela Merkel for, and I'm so disappointed in the German population in general that they reelected Angela Merkel. They put this nutbag back into the White House, that was a Freudian slip, this nutbag back into the parliament there in Germany. What a mess this lady is and what she's done to Germany. It's absolutely crazy. They've already had another 140,000 asylum seekers have entered Germany this year so far, and I mean, quite frankly, I think it's a lot higher than that. I don't think they can actually count the guys that go into basically the back roads and the back streets and just end up in a situation where nobody knows where they are, son.
Yeah, I don't either. I think that's exactly what's going on. We talked about that in detail last year. These guys are coming in now. You can't keep up with them. They go into the whole, you know, the underground aspects of it as far as they mend. And the problem is the segments of the Muslim communities are getting so big now, they can't even police them anymore. I mean, that's why they have no-go zones in the UK and in Sweden and everything else. They don't even know how many people are in there. But also, too, and other news relating to that, we see now a growing trend in Europe to abolish Christian imagery to avoid offending others, Nestle now has joined the trend and removed the image of the Christian cross from its Greek yogurt packaging featuring an Orthodox church on the island of Santorini. Whereas in real life, the blue dome of the church has a white cross on the top of it. The image of the church used for publicity has been photoshopped now to remove the offending Christian symbol. And eliminating the cross, Nestle, the world's largest food and beverage company, has mimicked the choice of the supermarket giant Lidl for its similar packaging. To justify its decision, Lidl said they were expunging the cross so as not to hurt sensibility of other religions. They explain, "We avoid the use of religious symbols because we do not wish to exclude any religious beliefs. We are a company that respects diversity." The irony, guys, though, is of this, of course, is that the removal of the cross is the destruction of diversity. By refusing to acknowledge the historical, cultural, and religious importance of the symbol, the company is in fact fighting exclusion by excluding Christian symbolism and submitting to pretty much primarily the Muslim religions over there. So it's sad that Nestle has gone in and done this now as well, but this is what they're starting to do now. If you guys notice this, and I'm not going to pick on any named churches, but if you go to any of these really large churches now, almost all of them, the big mega churches, you won't find a single crucifix inside their church. Go look. You can look at a lot of them. I may be wrong on some here and there, but a huge portion of them now, the ones that have thousands, tens of thousands of members, there's not a cross inside anywhere. Most of them don't have a cross outside anywhere because they don't want to offend anybody with that symbolism, which just goes to show you, again, it's all about submitting to every other religious belief so you don't offend anybody with your Christian beliefs. And that's not something that we should ever allow, Dad, not from a Christian standpoint.
Universalism. Everybody's going to get into heaven no matter what. That's how they believe in a lot of the big Christian churches. In fact, Joel Osteen was actually quoted that there were multiple ways to get to heaven. He did that on Larry King, got unbelievable backlash from it. And I've been to his church, and I like Joel individually as a person. I know him. I mean, I've spent time with him multiple times. He's super, super nice. He has a very nice, really good worship and praise. And he also has a really good altar call when he has it in his church every time they have a service. The problem I have with all of this is they don't preach repentance. There's not a cross anywhere. I mean, the symbol of the cross is the symbol of our Savior. It's the symbol that Jesus Christ died on a cross for us, and he sits then forever in heaven at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and that his death and resurrection basically saved us from going to hell and death and the grave. I mean, it saved us as Christians. And so for us to take the symbolism of the cross, which is very powerful, by the way, extremely powerful, and do away with it, is exactly what they've done with the Confederate flag, exactly what they've done with these monuments, exactly what they've done with the American flag now by kneeling at the national anthem. This is what they're doing. They're taking all the symbolism away so we have this universal religion. I was in Santorini, Greece back in August when we took Harris over there for a vacation, the first one had been on like in 5 years. And we spent a couple of weeks. You guys remember I was broadcasting from Greece. And I was at Santorini and I saw these beautiful blue dome churches. They're all over the island with their white crosses, the pinnacle of the white crosses. And it's sad that Nestle has built this huge company, one of the largest, if not the largest food company in the world, by using Christian symbolism, and now they've taken it all down because it was founded as a Christian company. They're taking the symbolism off not to offend anybody. They're already the largest food manufacturer in the world. What do they care about who they're offending? Why don't they continue to do with what they did to bring them to where they are, to be one of the top distributors and manufacturers in the world? But Nestle's not who you think they are, guys. You need some background research on Nestle. We need to do a whole show on that. By the way, the new Austrian vote now is paving the way for a nationalist party like Trump has done to enter the government because they have had enough. Austrian voters paved the way for the Freedom Party to enter government, heralding a shift to the political card political right that's likely to make the country a more prickly ally for its European partners. Projections after Sunday's election put the populace within reach of a second place behind the People's Party of Foreign Minister Sebastian Kurz, 31 years of age, who claimed victory after a campaign built on outflanking the Freedom Party with a hard stance line on immigration and migration of Muslims. He now has a mandate to form a coalition, replace the Social Democratic Christian Kern as chancellor, and become the world's youngest government leader. Wow. With the Freedom Party poised to return to government for the first time since 2005, congratulations poured in from European nationalists, including Francis Marine Pen and Geert Wilders in the Netherlands, while the World Jewish Congress expressed concern. Yeah, I don't know why the World Jewish Congress cares what they do in Austria. Muslims. No, that's stupid. I'm so tired of this. What business is it theirs? And for German German Chancellor Angela Merkel, the result may chip away at a key ally's pro-European stance in years ahead. There won't be a debate to leave the EU, but the Freedom Party is strong enough to demand a significant concession and may lead Austria to align more often with Eastern European countries that have challenged Merkel on issues including immigration from Muslims. This is what Thomas Hoffer, a political consultant, said in Vienna. Austria has mostly been an ally of Germany for decades, but that picture could change more often now, Hoffer said. So they're really in Europe. Some of these countries are having enough of this, and the people are saying, hey, no more of this. We're tired of it, except for Germany. Germany's the more the merrier, and let's have 18 Muslim children in a classroom with two little white kids and see how that works out for everybody when the little white kids are told that they can't have pork, they can't pray to Jesus, they can't read a Bible, or they're going to get their heads cut off. I mean, this is nuts.
Yeah.
This whole thing's nuts. Okay, what's your story, and what do you think of that, son?
Yeah, no, that's exactly the way it's going right now. But also, too, news I wanted to touch base on is everybody's going all wild and ecstatic about Bitcoin coming up, you know, $400 or $500 over the weekend like it did or whatever. You guys already know my stance on that. I'm not a big fan of it. If you haven't already heard, though, now, Vladimir Putin has officially stated that Russia will be issuing its own crypto ruble now at a closed-door meeting in Moscow, according to local news sources. According to the official, the state-issued cryptocurrency will not be mined and will be issued and controlled and maintained only by the authorities. Now, guys, remember, Dad and I have called this out for a while now. This whole thing with Bitcoin, why it was allowed to take off the way it was all a beta test. They're not going to let Bitcoin continue the way it is. And I'm going to completely validate that here in a second with this. All these countries, you know, understand, we can't go from a cash society paying out $100 bills for something in society right now. $100 bill, $100 bill, $100 bill, $20, $50, whatever you want to do. All over the country. And turn around and say overnight, well, cash is dead now. Everybody has to go to a digital currency. It couldn't be done. Literally, it would be a fiasco. Everything would collapse immediately. They know they have to bring in a digital currency now. That's the only way they can implement the mark of the beast, is they have to go full digital. Well, that's a much more difficult task than it's made out to believe. Bitcoin was the beta test for that. It's been incredibly effective, and it's gotten a lot of people on board. And also, too, when it first was released, as you guys remember, it was essentially totally anonymous. Now the FBI, the IMF, all these guys now figured out backdoor hacks and way to track it, find out people that haven't paid taxes on it. They've already figured that out now. Well, now, all of a sudden, we're starting to hear all these different countries are wanting to release their own version of their own cryptocurrency, and now Russia is saying they're doing the same. They said the crypto rubles can be exchanged for regular rubles at any time, though if the holder, here you go, though if the holder is unable to explain where the crypto rubles came from, a 13% tax will be levied on it, regardless. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how you got them. Doesn't matter if somebody gave them to you. 13% tax immediately. The same tax will also be applied to any earned difference between the price of the purchase of the token and the price of the sale. So they're trying to come in now and compete with Bitcoin, which is what, to make that even more effective, remember I told you before? How about you just outlaw Bitcoin? Ah, here you go. Next paragraph in this article. While the announcement means that Russia will enter the cryptocurrency world, it is in no way an affirmation or legalization of Bitcoin. On the contrary, Putin recently called for a complete ban on all cryptocurrencies within Russia, making the crypto ruble the only one that will be legal to trade and use in Russia. This is what they're going to do, guys. They're going to come in. They're going to allow these other countries to come up with their crypto digital currencies. They're going to allow everything to spread, become very big in the market, become used all across the globe. Remember that one lady said a couple weeks ago? When more than 30% of the population is accepting of cryptocurrencies, that's when they're going to roll it out in full blown. Now we have the Christine Lagarde, the IMF managing director now, has come out now and said many positive things about digital currencies and their disruptive model. She has now added that IMF would not rule out creating its own version of it. The IMF head said before that she pictures her organization playing a crucial role in regulating cryptocurrencies globally. She then said the IMF would not rule out developing its own cryptocurrency in the future, and it may already be in the works, which means they already have it ready to go. They're just working out the bugs and seeing when they can get the go-ahead to go on it. This is what they're doing, guys. This has been the whole ploy behind Bitcoin from the beginning, to get this thing rolling, to get it global, to get it monstrous, then come in, the IMF, the UN, whoever you want to dictate whatever they want. They're going to say, well, Bitcoin basically is illegal now. That's what terrorists use and money launderers use for money. So it's illegal to transfer any. It's illegal to buy any. It's illegal to possess any. You can only possess our IMF or our UN base or our Federal Reserve base or your or Rothschild-based cryptocurrency that we have for sale now, and that's the only thing you can use. That's where it's headed, guys. I bet money on it right now. That's the way it's going to go. So be on the lookout with this stuff. I don't mess with Bitcoin. Some people could make a lot of money with it. Some people have lost a lot of money with it. Could care less. It's a digital currency that's backed by nothing, regardless of what anybody wants to argue with you, how much time and energy and electricity it takes to mine a Bitcoin. It still is by no means any type of significant intrinsic value like silver or gold, or ammo, as that matter. But yeah, that's what's going on in the cryptocurrency world now that seems to be getting bigger by the day.
Well, I bet you a Bitcoin it fails. Well, here's another one. Off the coast of Africa, in the Canary Islands, northern Africa, south of Europe, around the very edge of Africa, there's the La Palma volcano, and the maps show that it's being smashed by hundreds of earthquakes in the past 15 hours. Now, personally, I think these are going to be man-made earthquakes. There's a giant top of a mountain there that they're afraid is going to fall into the ocean. There were 44 earthquakes recorded up to 2.1 magnitude between Friday and Saturday. I mean, that's a lot of earthquakes, guys. But experts believe that the total number, including ones too small to locate within a seismic storm, was 352 earthquakes. The quakes follow another seismic storm the weekend before, which saw around 50 tremors. Experts from the National Geographic Institute are monitoring the site 24 hours a day. The next Sunday, a team of investigators and scientific workers will arrive in La Palma for CO2 profiles and to research the structure of the slope of the volcano they think it may blow. Now, here's what's interesting about this. It said experts from the University of California, University of College of London, said if the Cumbre Vieja, which acted but dormant, were to come alive, the western flank of the mountain could actually tumble into the ocean. It's a huge, 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 huge part of the mountain. And that wave could form hurtling to the UK southwest at about 500 miles an hour. Now, that's crazy. And the author's report said the maximum impact we felt in key places in the Canaries, in La Palma, the city of Santa Cruz, and they're also saying that it could actually come all the way across the Atlantic Ocean. So other guys are saying, don't worry about it. This is not a big deal. It happens all the time over there. And that they're probably not going to have anything happen as far as, I think, falling into the ocean. So, quite frankly, I don't know if they're trying to force it to collapse or if it's just something that they're just messing with everybody with again, or if this is just more news to keep the masses and the goyim sedated. I have no idea. All I know is it's interesting that these guys can manufacture these volcanoes, not volcanoes, but these earthquakes like this and cause all kinds of havoc. And my only concern that would really directly affect the United States would be the Caldera over there at Yellowstone National Park, which is really, really, really bubbling right now, melting asphalt and everything else. What do you think, Oz?
I didn't realize that. That's pretty crazy. I know Yellowstone's it's a volatile area over there with all the little the geysers and everything else. I know they've said before in the past, supposedly they speculated that thing's erupted, what, like 10,000 years ago or 5,000 years ago or whatever they speculated to be. So I don't know. Yellowstone's pretty wild out there. I know it's pretty. I love going out there, but it's definitely one of those things that you feel like after a certain point, something pretty big's going to happen out there.
Well, it really could. No, this is interesting. It's from the Huffington Post. And I wanted to read this to you guys because I've been talking to you about this. And this is Huffington Post, mainstream article. It says, inside knowledge about unidentified aerial phenomenon could lead to world-changing technology. Something extraordinary is about to be revealed from former high-level officials and scientists with deep black experience who have always remained in the shadows are now stepping into the light. These insiders have long-standing connections to government agencies which may have programs investigating unidentified aerial phenomenon, also known as UFOs. They intend to move into the private sector and make all of the declassified information and any future knowledge available for all to see. The team includes a 25-year-old veteran of the CIA's Directorate of Operations, a Lockheed Martin program director for Advanced Systems at Skunk Works, a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence, a DOD senior intelligence officer who, among other sensitive responsibilities, ran the Pentagon Aerospace Threat Identification Program. Think about that. The Pentagon Aerospace Threat Identification Program. Why would they need that if they didn't have to identify threats? Focusing on unidentified aerial technologies, UFOs, and well-placed and experienced professionals from intelligence and high academic positions are also on board. Please see the information as you continue to read this article. And it says, what is going on here? It's from the beginning of some sort of trend towards the new openness of the part of the U.S. government. So I found this absolutely amazing, Austin, that they're actually coming out and they're going to do disclosure now. It's because of, you know, shows like ours and other shows that people have finally begun to realize that, you know, something else is going on that they're not talking to us about. And they're finally now realizing that the American population is quite capable of handling something about, you know, what's going on with UFOs. Here's another interesting article from The Guardian. It says, The Science of Spying, How the CIA Secretly Recruits Academics in Order to Tempt Nuclear Scientists from Countries Such as Iran or North Korea or Defect. U.S. spy agencies routinely send agents to academic conferences or even host their own fake conferences. Wow. So we were actually recruiting people from all over the world to work for the CIA in academia, which is something that is probably the worst guarded secret, Austin, that I've ever seen. So what do you think about both these stories?
That's pretty wild. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the more research you start digging into this, and I mean, it boggles your mind almost to an extent where you start seeing this stuff, and it's just wild. I mean, I saw an article today. Now, who knows what they're trying to do with the obfuscation with the Washington Post, is they put out an article today essentially implicating essentially the DEA and Congress for allowing the epidemic of the opiates to spike so much now. And the issue that I have with this whole story that they're putting out is, you already know the Washington Post is owned by Bezos, Amazon. So you know most of the stuff they put out is going to be fake news, or there's going to be a twisted aspect of real news. And so what they're really trying to do is they're trying to push a lot of the blame now and saying that U.S. Congress conspired with drug companies to hobble the DEA by essentially protecting racketeering with these prescription pharmaceutical companies. The issue that I have with this is nobody has still yet to address why we have 15,000 troops in Afghanistan and why the opiate population, the poppy population cultivating over there, exploded by 40 times since 2001, since we invaded that country. Nobody wants to discuss that. And once you start looking into the aspect of that, they are, and like I said, I have read numerous sources on this, producing generic forms of OxyContin and opiates in India and other countries, and then shipping them in discreetly through the CIA in the United States to keep the opiate pill epidemic exploding on the black market. That's when you start realizing this. What they're doing now is, everybody knows there's an opiate epidemic, so they have to create a boogeyman now. So they have to start blaming the pharmaceuticals, which I don't have a bit of problem with that, because they are significantly to blame, a large portion of it. But everybody knows nothing's ever going to happen to pharmaceutical companies, because they spend way too much money lobbying efforts with Congress, not to mention a lot of the guys have way too much conflict of interest. Nothing's ever going to happen with this. But they want to be able to blame it so they can say, well, this is the bad guy in the opiate epidemic, this is who we should blame. They're not even touching base on who is really bringing this stuff in. But a pretty eye-opening article that was released by the American Academy of Pediatrics showed now that the hospitals in the United States attend more than 100 childs and teenagers a day who are now already hooked on opiates. This was reported by the Daily Mail UK. The researchers based this estimate on their retrospective analysis of 2008 to 2013 data from the Nationwide Emergency Department sample. And so the total number of people they discovered under 21 that were admitted in the emergency room and diagnosed with opiate dependency or addiction rose drastically during that 5-year period, in 2008, there were 32,000 patients, roughly, that were under the age of 21 that were admitted into the emergency room with opiate dependency. By 2013, that number was right at 50,000 kids, and 8.4% of that number are children under the age of 17. So this is something we're seeing now, and Dad's called this out. The whole conspiracy that we've talked about now with the opiates and them being flooded on the market was not an accident. It was designed specifically to hit the entire, every generation, but specifically this younger generation. Because if they could completely compromise this younger generation with the drugs, with the porn, with the video technology, with all these phones that they have now, with the massively dumbed down academics that they've done now, with the core, common core nonsense and all this stuff, they're going to produce one of the stupidest, most drug-induced generations that's ever been on the face of this earth. And that, in my opinion, is their overall goal, because it's going to be a much easier group to control and get them to submit to a digital currency. So that's why it's so important, guys, you monitor what your kids are doing. If you have these drugs in the house for a specific issue you've been on, as far as you've had a surgery or something like that, make sure they're locked up and make sure you know who your kids are hanging out with. Don't be afraid to drug test them. If they're involved in something and you're not sure about it, if they're 15, 16, 17 years old, go to Walmart or go to Walgreens and get an opiate detector, a marijuana, cocaine, doesn't matter. Get to all of them. Because the thing about it is, guys, these opiates are incredibly addictive. And when these kids, especially at this young of an age, when their minds are still developing and their bodies are still developing, and you start shoving them out just massive loads of opiates in their system, they are incredibly addictive. The rest of their life, they're going to have to fight that dependency. And that was the goal, in my opinion, of what they've been doing since 2001 with the massive heroin and pill production over there across the sea, Dad. But that's just my opinion.
Well, you got to remember, when you start building these opiate receptor sites, your body is always craving to do it again. And, you know, yeah. And the first high, they say the first high with heroin or opium when you inject it, that you can never reach that same high again. That always takes increasingly larger amounts to get a high that's close to it, but it's never as good as the first one. Now, I don't know, because I've never used heroin, but I'm not having any intentions on using heroin. Now, there's a lot of truth to the article that you read as far as the pharmaceutical corporations being responsible for this. They did it because they want to increase their bottom line numbers. Yeah. And also you have a lot of pill doctors that just push dope, especially in some areas, especially in Ohio and Kentucky, where they may be putting out thousands of prescriptions out of one clinic in a year just for opiates. In some areas, there are actually more prescriptions for opiates than there are people in those counties because of that. But the other problem is this, is when you take the raw heroin and you ship it into India or into Pakistan or to Belgium or wherever you're going to run your pharmaceutical labs, and you make real OxyContin tablets, the real ones, they don't go through the pharmaceutical companies. They go through the CIA-controlled mafia, the black money, the organized crime. That's where that's going into. And so what's happened is now we're getting all this blowback going back on pharmaceuticals, which are bad, don't get me wrong, and doctors that are doing this, which are bad, don't get me wrong, but you have a much larger percentage of these young people that are getting this stuff from the street now. They don't want to buy it from the doctors because it's too difficult to get, so they're buying these OxyContin pills and they're actually grinding them up and they're injecting them. This is what's happening all over the United States and all over the world. And so now we have this massive opium epidemic, this massive heroin epidemic, this massive drug dependency for all of these people. And what it's doing is it's creating such a problem that people are starting to wake up and say, hey, wait a minute, we got to blame shift and point a finger here. And now they're pointing the finger at the pharmaceutical companies. But the pharmaceutical companies are definitely involved in it, but they're not the primary reason. Even if they stop selling their product, which they've done in many areas, they've really cracked down on it, they still have the street supply of OxyContin coming in from these other pharmaceutical laboratories, and these are real OxyContin tablets. These are not fake or generic or whatever. These are the real deals. Well, they may be generic, obviously, but they're the real opiates. And see, that's the problem that we run into. And remember, whenever you can get 10% or 20% or 30% or 40% or 50% of the people hooked on prescription drugs or hooked on opiates or hooked on statin drugs or hooked on tricyclic antidepressants or hooked on all these other chemicals, you create an entire victim class. And John Rappaport came on our show last year, I believe it was, and said the biggest thing is with a victim class, you no longer question. All you want to do is make sure you get your fix. You want to make sure you get your drug, but you don't want to be part of a solution because, don't you know I'm a victim? Don't you know I've got a problem? Don't you know I can't help you? I have this dependency. Don't you know I'm a diabetic? Don't you know, don't you know, don't you know? That's why we have the dumbest population I've ever seen in my entire life now. When you watch these people, these comedians go out into the streets and ask people questions like, who was the first president of the United States, and they don't know. Or you ask them what the Civil War was fought over, and they don't even know there was a Civil War. And then you ask them, when do you think the Civil War is going to be over in the United States? They go, we're not sure, but it should be over pretty quick. I mean, stupid things like this. This is what they say. They have no idea of history. They can't pass an 8th grade civics test, Austin, that we took back in the 60s. They can't pass one of those. They don't have any understanding of how the United States was formed. That's why they're all embracing communism, because they're being taught it's the better system than what we have, but they don't even know what communism is. And we start asking them questions of what communism is. They don't even have any explanation of what communism is. It's just some idiot professor or teacher told them it was a better way, so they basically regurgitate that. This is Cloward and Pivot on steroids. This is Hegelian dialect, problem, action, solution. This is what's coming in and destroying the United States. It's this type of mindset that's making people think that they're a victim. You know, I'm a victim because Joe Smo down the road drives a Cadillac Escalade and I don't have one. That makes me a victim. Okay, well, why don't you just get a job, okay, instead of sitting around the house watching TV all day? Maybe you can drive a Cadillac Escalade. Or I don't like the fact that so-and-so got a brand-new 1500 pickup truck down there and they spent $25,000 on that pickup truck. I can't believe they did that. I'm a victim because they've got a truck and I don't. I want their truck. Okay, that's why the Bible says, you know, you're not supposed to covet. See, all of these things that we're warned about in the Bible, which goes back to the very first story, one of the first stories we cover today, with these big mega churches, they don't even teach the Ten Commandments, Austin. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery. They don't talk about any of that. To them, God's a vending machine, and as long as you know you're nice to God, he's nice to you, and he's going to keep giving you stuff, and you're not going to have any responsibility at your end. My Bible reads this way: if you obey my commandments, then I will be your God. If you do what I say, then you'll be blessed. That's why the Bible says, I'd rather have obedience rather than sacrifice. You don't have to sacrifice a bull or a cow or a goat. If you just listen to me and don't sin, no sacrifice is required. That's what God was trying to get a point across to the Israelites throughout the entire Old Testament. Hey, wait a minute, guys. It's okay to make a mistake. Just don't do it over and over and over again. And oh, by the way, don't go out and kill people. And how about not stealing stuff? And why don't you just not commit adultery? And how about you remember the Sabbath to keep it holy? And how about thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? And how about thou shalt not have no other gods before me? How about we start doing things like that, but these churches won't preach this, Austin, because number one, it puts people under conviction. And the people now think the conviction is condemnation, and it's not. Just because you feel condemned, that's Satan trying to condemn you. He's the one who comes to rob, kill, steal, and destroy. He's the accuser of the brethren. But conviction is different than condemnation. But they confuse the two, and they think they're the same, and they're not. Conviction means, hey, look, I really did that wrong. I don't need to do that again. I claim to be a Christian. I'm called to a higher level of accountability. I need to try to do things right to the best of my ability. That's what conviction is. Okay, condemnation is a woe is me, I can't do anything right, and I'm going to go to hell for that. No, that's not what that is. We're under grace. We've been saved by grace through faith, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through Yeshua. The whole thing is this: we can't allow other people to put us under condemnation, but we can't allow a preacher who knows how to preach to put us under conviction. That's what preachers are supposed to do. When they don't preach repentance, when we end up, if they don't preach, you know, adultery is wrong, if they don't preach that promiscuity is wrong, if they don't preach that, you know, you shouldn't steal stuff, then people think it's okay to do that. That's why so many of these people that go to these mega churches, they're living with somebody they're not married to, or they screw a different girl every weekend, excuse my vernacular, or they go out with a different guy every weekend and have sex with them, because it's okay, because God's a nice God, and God's going to be nice to me no matter what I do. They don't pay their bills. You can look at their credit report. They got a 400 Beacon score, and they wonder why God's not blessing them, because nobody's telling them the truth. Then you have 20% of the people in that church that really want to have more of what God has, more of what the Holy Spirit can lead them to do and teach them, but they're not given that information because the pastor won't give it to them, simply because why? It clears out the pews. When you start telling people, hey, look, you probably need to get married instead of living together, then all of a sudden, you know, you got next the following Sunday, you got 10% less people. If you say, well, maybe you shouldn't do this, you got 10% less people. Then they go to another church where they can hear what their itching ears want to hear. This is exactly what the Bible says. In the latter times, the people follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. They'll go to what their itching ears want to hear. Guys, here's the thing. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be able to have a good lifestyle, to buy good supplements, have nice clothes, have a nice car, have a nice home, be able to put your kids in school without having to pay, you know, and borrow money for college loans. He wants all of those things for you, but he also wants you to do the best you can in trying to do what he tells you to do.
not to live a life of debauchery and excess. He doesn't want that. You know, you don't need, you know, 25 mansions. You don't need that. You don't need some of the stuff that some of these guys do. And I'm picking now on some of the doggone top Christian preachers and top Christian preachers who own studios and television stations around the country and who have giant syndicated networks, who own 15 and 20 and 30 homes, who have over $1 billion in cash reserves, and they're not feeding the poor and trying to help people around the country. That's who I'm talking about right now in general as far as policing our own, as far as Christians. That's not what God called these people to do. If he's going to bless you to that level, he wants you to be a conduit. You don't need four or five private jets. It's stupid. It's a big maintenance nightmare on top of everything else. You don't need any of that stuff. If you have to have a private plane because you're traveling all of the time and it's one of those things that you can't do the commercial, I understand that. I understand that because, quite frankly, flying commercial is the pits. I got that, okay? But the thing about it is, you don't need to have a fleet of jets if you're a nonprofit ministry. And so this is what people do, Austin. This is the kind of stuff they do, and it leaves a bad taste in all of our mouth. That's why God says in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, is spew them out of his mouth. He's had enough of it. He's had enough of all of it. And so we need to try to bring honor and glory to God in all that we do, think, and say. Now, just to change the subject here and get off of that, because I'll start preaching. I'll be doing that all the whole service. Now I'm calling my show a service. This is an article from the Daily Mail. They used to have a group about 10 or 15 years ago. They were called the Pussycat Dolls. And I'm going to cover this for just a second. And it says, quote, "We were all abused." Former member of the group, Kaya Jones, says, "The band was a front." Listen to this. "The band was a front for a prostitution ring, and the singers were passed around and abused by industry executives." Kaya Jones, 33, has spoken out with stunning accusations about this group. Jones joined the girl group as a teenager in 2003 and quit 2 years later. She says members were passed around by music industry executives. Group's founder claps back, calling claims disgusting, ridiculous lies. The group's founder, that's who started the group. And so the whole thing about this is that I read an article this weekend, and I sent it to my private list. A lot of you have it. It's about a 20-page article. It's too long to read on the air. And it went into detail, into sordid detail, about what happens in Hollywood, what happens in New York. They said that, you know, this lady was in the New York theater. She was also an actress. She said at any given time, Austin, 99% of the actors and actresses are out of work. They're between gigs, 99% of them. She's a very difficult money, it's a way to make money. And she says the vast majority of the people who are in it end up going into prostitution or pornography trying to earn a living. And she says they're also passed around by industry execs. And that's why I brought this up today. And then it goes on to say that a lot of times they'll use body doubles, and they'll have them sing a tape or music off a CD or recorded music at a concert, and the real person's not even singing anymore because they're sick or disabled, but they don't want to kill off that person or that person's image because they make too much money off of that person. So they'll bring somebody in who looks like that person and have them use the recording from the original artist when they sing the songs, and they said from the distance, no one can tell a difference. Now, I asked Mancow about this, my buddy who's the DJ up in Chicago, and I said, "Mancow, is any of this stuff true?" And he said, "All of it is true. All of it is true." And it went into more sordid detail about the human sacrifices and all the other crazy things they were doing, and how many of the, you know, we all heard of the Hollywood casting couch, which we now see with Weinstein has been completely exposed for everybody to see. And he said that this whole industry is just indicative of this. And he said, and in the article it said, this was interesting, it said that the gay Jewish mafia ran the New York theater. And that unless you were taken in by the gay Jewish mafia and they liked you as a female, they would never ever use you. And if you said anything about gays, you would be blackballed and you'd never work again in New York in the theater. And if you were a guy and they liked you, they expected you to have a relationship with them if you were going to be in the theater and working. Otherwise, you would never get a part. This is the article that I read. This is what we've turned into. This is why it's so important that this Weinstein mess gets fully exposed and talked about. Because, guys, it's what runs Hollywood. These are the Sabbatean Kabbalists. These are the guys that have the dual citizenships we've talked about earlier. These are the guys that are completely and totally Luciferian in nature. These are the guys that worship Satan and go to the weird orgies and all of the other things that they're involved with, all as part of this Babylonian worship ritual to Moloch and to their different gods and their different deities. This is a major, major, major nightmare. And these guys are producing the entertainment, the music, the videos, and the movies that they're feeding to our young people in this country and reprogramming their brains that this type of behavior is okay. That's why I wanted to talk about this today. And quite frankly, I've watched four or five movies in the last couple of months. They've all been so awful that I haven't even had the interest to even discuss any of them on the show because they're just awful, awful movies. So guys, that's what we're feeding the kids. So be very careful with your TVs. Be very careful with Netflix. Be very careful with the gay stuff they have on these different shows. Also talked about that with Netflix. And make sure that you monitor what your children watch on the internet and you monitor what your children watch at the movies. Guys, this is so important. I can't stress it highly enough. What do you think, Austin?
Absolutely. Cancel Netflix. Cancel, cancel, cancel. Don't even promote them as far as with your money. Don't even use them. Absolutely not. They are so wrapped up in producing some of the most just debauchery-filled movies and forcing you to watch it and pay for it, not something I ever recommend paying for at all. I mean, that's why, I mean, Hunter's getting bigger now. He's almost two, and I make sure, you know, we try to do the best we can as he's going to get bigger to keep a lot of this stuff as limited as possible. There's no way to prevent exposure to it as they get older and go off and go to college and stuff like that, but a lot of this stuff is geared to the very, very young generation so they can get them as early as possible involved in this stuff and to really just cloud their judgment and really just almost decay their morals as best as possible. But yeah, Dad, I've heard the same thing out there in Hollywood. I've known people that have gone out there for various different topics, and it almost all is the same out there. It's a very, very difficult industry. They try to get a lot of those girls, and a lot of the girls from what I've read that have gotten into the pornography industry, a lot of it was not by choice. Most girls don't just graduate high school and be like, oh, that's what I want to do for a living. A lot of them go out there with the whole expectation of being a singer, being an actress, doing all this stuff. And they get involved with a lot of stuff like Weinstein. And the problem is, if they hack anybody off, they can't do anything else. If they don't do exactly what they tell them to do, they can't do anything else. And they ruin people out there. That's what they do, and it's what they've done for years and years and years. And I'm glad to see that this exposure from Weinstein is going mainstream now as far as what he's been involved in. And it's funny to me because Hillary Clinton's manager that manages the Clinton Foundation, they put out a public statement today stating that they weren't going to give back the $250,000 donation that Weinstein donated to the Clinton Foundation because they could use the money for something positive now. And I thought it's so funny because those guys, they're absolute joke, all of them out there. They're all involved in this, all of them, especially as far as in the governmental level, almost all of them in Congress. Almost all these guys are compromised now. The more I read, the more I talk to people, the more I find out, I don't trust anybody involved in this stuff, especially if they've taken a penny from any of these guys that have been involved in this stuff, Dad. It's really quite disgusting to me. But, again, the independent media is really doing what they can right now to expose a lot of this, and that's the biggest thing that we can do right now is just shine the light on them for the cockroaches they are and make everybody realize who these people really are.
That's right, that's right. Oh, by the way, one of the eyewitnesses who posted an account on Facebook of a second shooter died of natural causes 5 days after posting her video and information on Facebook. Natural causes, by the way. She was 28 years old, but she died of natural causes. This is what happened with the Kennedy assassination. Over 300 people who were witnesses, Austin, died from like natural causes and strange deaths after the Kennedy assassination if they kept talking. Because remember, back in the 60s, that was only 20 years after World War II, and there were a lot of guys that had fought in World War II that had a lot of testosterone, and they simply weren't going to put up what was going on with Kennedy, and they saw what happened, and they were talking about multiple shooters, and they were dying one after the other, after the other, after the other, out in Texas. And the sad part about this is that it never seems to end, and now that they own the media, they can pretty much do what they want. By the way, the lying Jezebel witch of Benghazi said, I was running down the stairs in heels with a cup of coffee and I fell backwards and broke my foot. Well, if anybody believes that, she should have never been even running for the president of the United States. She's so stupid. She's running downstairs in high heels with a cup of coffee and talking over her shoulder and fell backwards. I mean, I don't know what in the world she's up to now. Probably some kind of weird ritual she was in. She broke her foot. And quite frankly, I just wish this woman would get out of the media and people would stop
even giving her the time of day. I rarely talk about her because I can't stand her, but I thought I would mention that because it was so ridiculous that she would actually come out and say something like that. By the way, Monsanto has been banned now completely from the European Parliament. I mentioned this story a few weeks ago on Hagman. I want to make sure I covered it with you guys too, because they said that they're blocking all of the research of what happened with glyphosate and what's happening with all of the poisons and all of the cancers that are being caused from Roundup, and they want to make sure that everybody knew they were no longer going to be allowed to even come into the Parliament there in the EU, and they're seriously considering banning all of this stuff from Europe. And by the way, flu vaccines and pregnancy, guys, don't do that. We're coming up to flu season right now. If you're pregnant, more and more studies show massive, massive increase in children's deaths of the mothers who are pregnant with them. I think, what is it, a 5,000% increase in death? I mean, it's insane, some number, but it's so high. It's deeply, deeply disturbing to me. So don't think about putting these injections into yourself when you're pregnant. Please remember, this is all part of the program of eugenics that people need to understand. So by the way, this is crazy. I read this and I couldn't even believe it. A judge has now, a repeat rapist judge, the man raped this woman, and you're not going to believe this. This is in Sandusky, Michigan. Now, he reversed his ruling, or somebody else came in and reversed his ruling, but this judge is so culpable in this. On October the 13th, he ruled that the judge granted joint custody and the right to file for visitation to a rapist who impregnated a child's mother who went to prison for the rape. So he gets out of prison. Now he wants to see the baby that he raped and caused, and so the judge gives him joint custody of the victim's son. Now, another court or another individual has since gotten rid of that hearing, that ruling, but the fact that that actually happened, Austin, absolutely blows my mind. What do you think?
Yeah, that's pretty bizarre, man. Also, in other news, with a health topic for today, a new study that was done, a new British study, showcases the metabolic changes that occur within just 2 weeks of inactivity, even those who are young and fit. What they did was, at the beginning of the study, they took 28 participants who are healthy and fit with an average age of 25 and an average BMI of 25 per kilogram, which is considered normal. They had them logging about 10,000 steps per day, and the individuals are considered to have active lifestyles. They then slowly had step reduction protocols that reduced their normal activity all the way down 80%, down to 1,500 steps a day. And then they took them down to 14 days of total inactivity. They said after the 14 days was up, the final 14 days, the participants' cardiorespiratory fitness declined dramatically. The group also was experiencing changes in body composition, which they were actually losing muscle and gaining fat, with the new fat tending to accumulate in the center of the body. They said this is significant because abdominal fat is a risk factor for unhealthy conditions such as metabolic syndrome and heart disease. And so it goes on here basically to talk about how important being active is, even if it's just a small amount. And this is what I tell people all the time, especially when they're trying to burn body fat and get in better shape. And I go into detail on this in the new book that we have released in a couple weeks. Is that I always, especially when I'm trying to lose a little bit of weight or trying to lean down, morning cardio is fantastic. We brought the product on, Muscle Blast, one specifically almost just for that, because what it does is it helps to prevent your body from using muscle as fuel, because that formula is designed so efficiently to spare muscle tissue. But at the same time, when you do cardio in the morning and fasted on an empty stomach for about 20 minutes, it massively increases the metabolism and burns body fat efficiently. Resistance training is also an important one to add in there. But I tell people, sometimes, you know, it, obviously, you know, everybody's lifestyle is different, timing, work, family, kids, I got that. But doing some activity at least 4 to 5 to 6 days a week is so important, because when you start going on that total inactivity for 1, 2, 3 weeks where you really don't do anything at all, you're almost totally sedentary except maybe walking out to your car or walking in your house or walking up the stairs to your bedroom, it really has very, very quick, substantially negative side effects on the body. Our bodies were never designed to be inactive like that. They were always designed to be moving trying to be out and about, to be getting exercise. So if you're trying to get your weight under control, if you're trying to get healthy, on top of adding in, you know, like our basic healthy lifestyle kit or some really good core supplements, and if you need to, you can call us up here at Health Masters and ask us on what you need. We'll be more than happy to help you out. But adding in at least a good 20 to 30 minutes of activity 5 to 6 days a week, even if it's just walking around your neighborhood at night, that right there is a great place to start. But I thought it was interesting that this article showed how quickly the body composition starts to degrade when you have zero activity at all involved.
Muscular atrophy, it happens very quick. You see that when a person has their arm put in a cast, it just shrivels up. By the way, liver function shown to improve with the consumption of broccoli sprout extract, which we also have at Health Masters, and it helps to get rid of fatty liver. It's a sulfur-rich food that's highly beneficial, and an extract from broccoli sprouts has been given to male participants and shown to improve hepatic abnormalities and overall liver function, including helping to reduce the risk and the severity of fatty liver. So it's really a good product. Another thing that does well for that is MCT oil. We have it also on the website. Medium-chain triglyceride is made from coconut concentrate, and you use 1 tablespoon a day to in your protein shake, or you just take it by the tablespoon. It doesn't taste bad, and it really, really helps to maintain healthy liver function. Guys, I want to thank you for listening. I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend, by the way. I know we did. And so I appreciate you getting your multiple vitamins from us and your supplements from us. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for being here for us. Thanks for continuing to pray for us. And just, guys, I appreciate all of you. Thanks so much for what you do and how you continue to direct and guide, you know, your lives based upon, you know, what the Word of God says. And thank you so much for praying for us and, again, for getting your supplements through us. Austin, I'm going to let you do the write-up today, and I got to get some more stuff loaded in the car. God bless you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, guys, thank you for all the support, and thank you for the emails. Again, we really do appreciate everything, even just buying your ultimate multiples from us, or even just emailing us stuff. Sometimes it's nice to get a good email. People send them in. I got one this morning where somebody was thanking us for some of the stuff we talked about, and it's always good because we get negative emails as well. People don't like what we're talking about, and that's just part of it, but again, we're not going to stop. That's why we're doing this. We want to wake as many people up as we can, and we want to get the truth out there. That's why we don't have any ads on our shows. You guys know there's no commercials, there's no ads, there's no sponsors. We don't want to have a single issue with anybody trying to control or dictate what we can and can't say on this show. So we appreciate your support and thank you for everything you guys do for us. Of course, check out the website at healthmasters.com. We have the product of the week on there, which is the thyroid support. Incredibly popular product, probably one of the top 5 sellers we have, which is really, really good for the thyroid. Really good for managing healthy weight as well. So that's a good one to check out. It's on sale for over 10% off. And be sure to vote on the other products we have on there as product of the week. We have a lot of good products up there right now. So healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.